Hi, good afternoon. Doing well.
This is a topic that you and I have talked about a lot, and that has to do with what is the fascination that people have with Trump? I've been trying to figure this out. If you talk to his supporters, they will tell you that it is because they're America first, they're patriot, and he will fight the deep state, and that's why they support him. But looking at his record, I think anyone who was truly, truly interested in America first, in advancing a certain policy agenda, would have to admit that he was not, well, he was not very successful. I'm going to try to be very kind. So I cannot explain his appeal based on policy and performance. There's something else. There's some kind of emotion that he evokes in people. And that's why they're so emotionally attached to him. There was a clip from Trump's testimony in this civil lawsuit on Twitter. And Trump supporters were just retweeting and talking about how he's king and this is base. That's my effing president. So they were thrilled about this clip. And I listened to the clip and I just don't understand their reaction. So I wanted you to listen to the clip too, and see that maybe you can explain why there are people who think that this is being, put in between quotes, king. Here's the clip.
When you said in that video that Ms. Leeds would not be your first choice, you were referring to her physical looks, correct?
Just the overall. I look at her, I see her, I hear what she says, whatever. You wouldn't be a choice of mine either, to be honest with you. I hope you're not insulted. I would not, under any circumstances, have any interest in you. I'm honest when I say it. I would not have any interest in.
When I listen to that clip, I do not hear a king. I hear a fool who has just implied that if she were attractive, I don't know, maybe I would have raped her.
I hear that, and I hear a man talking about me. This is a woman who is, I'm presuming that's the assistant district attorney. No, this isn't.
So it's a civil lawsuit.
This is the attorney for the lady who is suing him.
Yes.
I can't quite understand the idea. What is a civil rape? I don't understand exactly what's happening there.
I mean, obviously, when it comes to the criminal law, the statute, limitations has expired.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going through the civil courts, which I don't believe that anyone should be able to do that. But let's leave that as a topic for perhaps another time.
I mean, here's a woman who's an accomplished person to some extent. She's an attorney. She's licensed. She's been through law school. And she's representing another woman who is suing Trump for civil rape, for lack of a better term. But here's this woman attorney questioning her about, well, now you said, Trump, you said she wouldn't be your choice. And he says to her, not only, well, yeah, you know, she wouldn't be my choice. You wouldn't be a choice. I wouldn't under any circumstance. What the hell kind of person says to a female on the record, on recording, to her face, I would want to be with you. You're not my type. You're not attractive to me. I mean, that's one of the least impressive things I've ever heard Trump say. It's one thing for him to be, yeah, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with this woman who's accusing me of raping her. But, I mean, it's just a totally different level of depravity to then say, quite frankly, you wouldn't be, to the woman right there in front of him. What a dog. What a dog. In our first episode that we did, where I said, you know, the gentleman qualities of Mitt Romney, the genteel qualities, and that I see that a lot of that Ron DeSantis shares, Donald Trump has, he is a complete contrast to that. This is just another example.
Yeah, he is. I mean, okay, I agree with you Look, if I were his attorney, I would be extremely upset about this because he's going out of his way to insult someone when it's completely unnecessary to do so. But that's the way he is. That's who he is. He's behaving like a child who's just looking for a reaction. And it doesn't matter whether it's a positive reaction or a negative reaction.
Yes.
The thing that fascinates me is, why do his fans see this type of behavior? I mean, we're talking about a 70-year-old man. This is not some child. Far from it.
This is a father. This is a grandfather. And he's still, I mean, he takes joy.
I mean, I can see this in the middle school where he's there with his buddies and he just throws the insults out and his little group of friends are like, ha, that's so funny. But we're talking 70. And we're talking a lot of his supporters are also in their 70s, 60s and 70s. What is it about it that you feel that this is being king and, oh, that's my president? I mean, I don't understand this.
In 2015, I said in our conversations in real time, I said, I think that there's an aspect of him that a lot of white males specifically see how he behaves, hear how he speaks, and they think, whether consciously or subconsciously, whether they actually say it to anybody else or not, damn, I wish I could say those things. I wish I could get away with behaving like that. But, you know, the rest of us are not billionaires, so we can't behave like that. There are recriminations. There are costs for us saying the things Donald Trump says, acting the ways Donald Trump does, that he can get away with it because not having to go to work on Monday morning, not having to answer to what he said on national television or on Twitter or whatever, and having some employer or boss's boss seeing it and calling you in and firing you because we can't have you working for us if you're going around saying these things. Donald Trump doesn't have to worry about that kind of accountability in his life. Donald Trump didn't have to worry about that. And so I think that that's part of the allure that some of his supporters still maintain, still look at him and say, yeah, that's our king. They still wish that they could do that.
I think you nailed it there. I think you nailed it because that explains the reaction. I think this is just individuals, perhaps in a workplace. There are many things that they want to be able to say, but they either can't say it because they need the work, they need the job, they need the income. So they can't risk it. Or let's face it, maybe some of them just don't have the guts to do anything like that. And then they see Trump. And they see Trump and he just says whatever's on his mind. And they somehow live
vicariously
through him.
What put Donald Trump on the map? What distinguished him from all the other Republicans running? It was the famous, what Ann Coulter has called the Mexican rapist speech.
They're not sending their best. I think a lot of people would love to say that. They just don't say it. Why? Probably because they don't want to be called racist. I think you're right. I think that through him, they're able to live and do things that they themselves in their everyday life cannot do for whatever reason.
He is a cultural icon and institution unto himself. So there's the aspect of, you know, the billionaire type that most of us are never going to be and are not. So there's that aspect of it too, that here's this guy who's got the pretty girl. And who has, you know, the children who just look perfect. Oh, he's got such a great lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. And he gets to behave. This is just a fantasy world for most people. We're getting to see it live out on the nightly news and on live stream. You know, now it's truth social media. Before it was Twitter and so forth.
The whole idea that they want Trump because they are America first and they're patriots. I just don't buy it. I think they like him. I think, like you said, they sort of live through him. It makes him feel good. Maybe it makes him feel powerful because even though it's not them, through him, they can feel that power of being able to say and do whatever you want. Another reason, now that I think about it, another reason they always bring up as to why this time they still support Trump and why they believe that this time is going to be different. I think it was really expressed by Tim Pool He was explaining why he would vote for Trump over DeSantis. And this is what Tim said. Quote, Donald Trump's gonna fire everybody. He wants revenge. He is unleashed. That's the number one thing this country needs right now. I don't think DeSantis does it. End of quote. Based on what? Why do you believe that Donald Trump, if should he get back into the White House, is going to fire everybody and he's going to be completely different? I have not seen any indication that Trump has learned anything. Have you?
What is the question that I've been asking, that I've been needling anytime I post somewhere and one of his people come on and challenge me or whatever? What's the question that I've been asking and saying that people need to ask of Donald Trump right now, if we're going to consider him for a second go around, a second chance? What's the question I've been asking?
The question is, spell out what exactly went wrong. What mistakes did you make? I think that's the essence of the questions you asked.
Right. Mistakes, failures, problems, difficulties, resistance, that you ran into resistance because you did ABC. What's going to be different in the second administration? Well, Tim Pool right there is giving the answer to the question without having to address it, without Trump having to say it. Okay, that's nice, Timmy. But the simple fact of the matter is that's not coming from the mouth of Donald Trump. He's never going to say that. He's never going to admit that. He's never going to allude to that. He's never going to give that answer. If you ask him directly, Mr. Trump, what mistakes were made in the administration, your first go-round, what's going to be different? What can we expect different? And he says what Tim Pool just said there. Okay, that's nice. That's a nice fantasy that's going to go down, that's going to happen, that Trump's going to say that. But he's not saying that. He's not talking about, here's what I'm going to do in my second administration. Give me another term as president. Here's what I'm going to go do. He's going after Ron DeSantis exclusively. That's all he's talking about. I don't even know if he's talked about Joe Biden. I think he may have mentioned Joe Biden once the other day.
He needs to dedicate a speech and dedicate some time in talking about what he feels went wrong during his administration and how does he intend not to make the same mistakes again. Short of that, I think supporting him is really reckless at this point. You're just throwing your vote away.
Well, certainly to be saying he's going to go in and fire everybody, he wants revenge, when he was as limp-wristed, as milquetoast, I mean, unless he was in a news conference or maybe on the debate stage. I mean, as the president of the United States, he gave everything to everybody else besides his supporters. For his supporters to now say he's going to go and do something we have not seen him do yet. We're not talking about Donald Trump of The Apprentice. You're fired. We wish we had seen that. But no, he never did that. He never did anything like that. He was retaining people who were, boy, isn't this an ironic term now, if not disloyal to him, working against him.
Another example is Mitch McConnell. He complains about Mitch McConnell. He calls Mitch McConnell's names, but someone needs to ask him, okay, Donald, what if you win the presidency again and once again McConnell is majority leader? How are you going to handle him? Are you going to give Mitch McConnell's wife a position in the cabinet again? And by the way, what did Elaine Chao do?
I was going to say, so Mr. Trump, give us an idea. Where are you thinking about for Elaine Chao to fit into your administration in a second term? Ask it in a manner that's, you know, not trying to berate her or, you know, say anything about, well, here's how I think she did last time. Just ask, where are you thinking about as far as Elaine Chao fitting into your administration second time around? And see what he says. I mean, if the man says, I'm extremely displeased with Elaine's performance in my first administration. I thought that we accomplished nothing on transportation-related issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, okay, cool. Well, follow-up to that might be, well, give us some other examples of people that you felt were of detriment in your first administration and how you might handle things in those positions second time.
The other thing that it's odd about the Trump supporters, and it shows that their support is not based on policy, is they absolutely despise Anthony Fauci. They despise the lockdowns, the mandates, the vaccines.
And yet they haven't noticed that Donald Trump really doesn't have anything critical to say about Fauci. Donald Trump doesn't even have a nickname for Fauci. He has a nickname for everybody else, but not Anthony Fauci. So, I mean, I get the feeling that Donald Trump would love to brag about Operation Warp Speed. It's just that every time he tries, his audience goes quiet. And he's an entertainer. He knows how to read an audience. He knows when he's going in a direction that the audience doesn't like, and he holds back. But I think if Trump had the opportunity, he would love to brag about the vaccine. But going back to his supporters, whenever I bring up that, why don't you demand that he talk about what will be different? He doesn't even so much have to talk about what mistakes he made. And there is a reluctance on the part of his fans to even ask that.
I think they know what the answer would be. If they think there would actually be an answer, maybe they're afraid that there's not going to be an answer, or the answer is going to be crap that they're not going to be interested in.
Trump is really more a fantasy than an actual candidate. Through him, they can live their fantasy of being able to say whatever's on their mind, unafraid of any consequence. Now they have this fantasy that he's going to go back into the White House, that he's going to fire everybody. This is just fantasy.
Trump, the man, the myth, the legend.
That should be the title of the episode.
There you go.
You said the reason why his supporters are not asking the question is because maybe they know the answer.
Yeah.
Maybe deep down inside, they know he's not going to do anything different. They have to keep that fantasy alive because it makes them feel good.
Yeah.
It makes them feel powerful.
You remember the line in the movie Legends of the Fall? The line from the movie was something along the lines of the old man and the mother liked the idea of each other, of being married, more than they actually liked each other or loved each other. I think that people like some of the ideas of Trump, or maybe they've kind of created their own little fantasies of what Trump is or what they wish Trump were or could be, more than actually what he is.
There's no question about that, because even when you see some of the memes and the imagery that they use of Trump, is always like this fit, strong man, powerful man, almost a superhero.
The artwork is amazing.
Yeah, the artwork is amazing. But as far as I'm concerned, all of that could be justified in 2016 because he had no record.
Mm-hmm.
I will confess, I did some of that myself. Once someone is in office and has a record, you got to get away from the fantasy and you have to come back to reality. That is, if you want to help the country.
You can say you're patriotic. You can say you're America first. You can say you're MAGA, make America great again, etc. But when you've got a by God political record, a record of achievement and a record of failure, as Trump does now from his first administration, and we've had now some time to digest that a little bit, you can't take the rhetorical ground and say, here's what Trump is. You can call yourself patriotic, but that's not patriotic. That's self-serving, or that's egotistical, or that's something else. They don't want someone to come out and say, this is a fiction. This is a poorly written fiction. This is not even as good as the Marvel Avengers comic books. This is, I agree. I think that they just kind of, they've got their guy. They've got their guy. They've got their guy. How dare you say anything about that? Oh, you must want Joe Biden. You must want Skeletor. You know, oh, you're pro Skeletor. No, that's not what we're saying. Well, he's not even with the Avengers. He's a completely different line of cartoon fictional candidate. But he's an evil guy. He's a bad guy.
I don't even know who that is. But anyway, the man, the myth, the legend. I think that's a good place to leave this discussion at. Talk to you later, David.
Very good. Thank you. Bye-bye.